Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please hit the subscribe button right now so that you will never, ever, ever miss another episode of this inspiring podcast. My guest today is Gary Hines. Gary is the founder of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and St. Paul, Minnesota-based Sounds of Blackness. They're a Grammy, Soul Train, and NAACP award-winning ensemble that has been on the music scene and black cultural scene, uplifting and inspiring lives with music and more since about the late 1960s. They brought us hits like Optimistic, I Believe, Royalty, and now, in the wake of this pandemic, they have brought us Sick and Tired. It's so fitting. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired during this pandemic and in the wake of George Floyd's murder at the hands of a policeman that sparked worldwide protests against police brutality and racism. Gary Hines, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Queen Lynn.
Oh, I just love it how he says Queen Lynn.
Well, you are.
I appreciate you because I've been interviewing you or either writing about you and the Sounds of Blackness since the 90s. And
yes.
And we first came in contact with one another in L.A.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. So tell me this. When did Sounds of Blackness start? Why did they start? And how many members does it have? Because it's a self-contained unit. Am I right?
It is. And I can answer that. It'll take me a moment, but I'll do my best to condense it.
Okay.
What was the foundation, Queen Lynn, of Sounds of Blackness actually began in 1969 at my alma mater here in the Twin Cities, McAllister College. It was begun by a gentleman called Russell Knighton, an emeritus member of Sounds of Blackness. Russell's a native of Beaumont, Texas. And in 1969, McAllister College, a predominantly white institution of higher learning, embarked on a very ambitious program to recruit students of color called EEO, Hendricks Hall Expanded Educational Opportunities. They were very successful at it on a campus of 2,000. At one time, they had almost 200 black and students, other students of color. And one of the offshoots of that, Lynn, is that the students themselves organized a number of different activities. There was a theater group called Black Arts Midwest. There was a political group called BLAC, the Black Liberation Affairs Committee. And there was this 50-voice choir called the McAllister College Black Voice. And in 1971, specifically January of 71, my junior year, my sophomore year, actually, they brought me on as director. And the vision that God gave me on, and it's always been clear, was to be in the tradition of people like Duke Ellington. Now, we hear Duke's name and we think of jazz, and of course we should. But so many people, and too many people don't know that Duke was a prolific writer of gospel, of spirituals, of hymns, of anthems, of blues. He did the music of the culture as well as his jazz works. And so the template for Sounds of Blackness really had already been laid. And so that's why we refer to Duke Ellington as our musical mentor. And we needed a name that would reflect the fact that we were going to be doing every sound of blackness, jazz, blues, gospel, hip-hop, R&B, spirituals. And so hence the name. Many times people ask, what's the meaning and origin of the name? That's the meaning, every sound of the black experience. And now, as we enter into 2021, we're blessed by the grace of God to be celebrating 50 years of blackness.
Amen. 50 years. And what a time to be celebrating it in the midst of everything that's going on right now. But and I'm glad you talked about that it encompasses the full Sounds of Blackness, the blues, the jazz, the R&B. How did you get into recording? How did the whole hookup happen with you and your choir and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and that whole experience? What came out of, like, songs that came out of that, Optimistic and I Believe? Because all of a sudden you were introduced into a mainstream group of fans and worldwide music fans.
I'm so glad you asked, Queen Lynn, because that's a very interesting story. And again, it's a big one, but I'll do my best to condense it.
Okay.
What you and all your listeners and followers need to know is that my relationship and Sounds of Blackness relationship with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis predates their fame as international music producers. We go back with Jam and Lewis and Prince, rest his soul, to the 70s. Our families knew one another. I'm a native, a proud native of Yonkers, New York, and the Hines family moved here to Minneapolis in the early to mid-60s, and some of the first families we met, because my mom, the late, great Doris Hines, was a great jazz singer, and this here, Harris, his dad, the great Cornbread Harris, a great blues player and singer, and Terry Lewis, a prominent family throughout the Twin Cities. So they were among the first families we met actually in the late 60s and going into the 70s. And many times, Lynn, the Flight Time Band, as they were called before they were called The Time, the Flight Time Band with the original members Jam and Lewis, many times Sounds of Blackness and the Flight Time Band would be appearing on the same stage. I mean, there would be activities like the annual Miss Black Minnesota pageant or the annual Urban League dinner, and many times Sounds of Blackness would open up the evening with Lift Every Voice and a few selections, and then the gala would continue, and then they would close out with the Flight Time Band. So for years, we spent a lot of time backstage at the same events, and we knew each other's music. Fast forward to 1989, Jam and Lewis, of course, are the top producers in the world, and they still are, and they're doing Alexander O'Neill's Christmas album called My Gift to You. And a lot of people also don't know that Alexander, his first band, when he moved to Minneapolis from Mississippi, he was a member of Sounds of Blackness for a year before he went to the Flight Time Band.
Wow, did not know that.
It's amazing how things come full circle. So Jam and Lewis gave us a call to do some background vocals on one of Alexander's songs on his Christmas song, on his Christmas record. The session went so well that they had us do another song. And I'll never forget, on the way out the door, Lynn, the session was over, everybody was happy. Terry was starting, you know, the session paperwork and all of that. And he said, "Hey, doctor," they've always called me that. Terry always called me, nicknamed me doctor. He said, "Hey, doctor, we're filling out this paperwork. What label are you guys on?" And I was like, "We don't have a label."
Wow, okay.
And he said, "Really?" And he said, "Really?" He said, "You know what? I'm going to call you next week." And the rest is history. And I'm going to add one other piece. I know it's kind of a long answer. I apologize.
No, love it.
A lot of people get it confused that they thought that Janet Jackson presented Sounds of Blackness to Jam and Lewis. No, it was the other way around. Jam and Lewis had Janet in town here in the Twin Cities working on Control. They always came, just as Prince did, again, rest his soul, they always came to Sounds of Blackness productions, our Motown tribute, our Music for Martin concert, and they brought Janet to Orchestra Hall here in the Twin Cities to a packed house to see our Music for Martin concert. And I'll never forget, they brought Janet backstage after the concert to meet the group and everything. And where Janet fits into the equation, Lynn, is that Janet turned to Jam and Lewis, and we had already started working on Evolution of Gospel. And she turned to Jam and Lewis and she said, "You guys, don't wait to put this record out. Put it out right now. The world needs to hear this message right now." So Janet was a catalyst in the plans that Jam and Lewis already had for Sounds of Blackness, and we were blessed to be the first artist signed to their respective records label.
Oh, wow. And they were distributed by A&M Records, right? Perspective
A&M, going through A&M. Polygram Worldwide Distribution, yes.
That is an interesting story. See, our children, our young folks, they need to know that.
Yes, they do. And what else they need to know, and now it's so funny, and I'll keep this much shorter.
Oh, that's okay.
You know, when Polygram, which as you remember at the time, was the biggest distributor in the world.
Right.
That was the parent, actually, of A&M. So when Polygram and A&M gave Jam and Lewis their label, you know, Jam and Lewis, of course, were working with Michael and Janet and a human being, and George Michael, who was huge at the time, and those level of artists, and they thought, sure, that Jam and Lewis were going to bring those artists to their label. And Jam and Lewis said, "No, we're starting with Sounds of Blackness." And they were like, "Sounds of who?" and how many of them are there? And what's this name? Is that name going to offend people? And well, who is this? You know. But of course, then when Optimistic went number one worldwide, then everybody was sticking out their chest out. Oh, we do it all the time. But Jam and Lewis, God bless them, props to them. They never wavered in their signing of Sounds of Blackness as their first artist and presenting us to the world. And the first thing they told me, Lynn, when they signed us, and it's important for your listeners to know this, they looked me right in the eye. And again, they knew the group's repertoire. They knew what we were about from a previous years, as I explained earlier. And the first thing they said to us, Lynn, was, "Don't change. We want to present you to the world just as you are." And so often we hear stories of when artists are signed, the first thing the label wants to do is change their image, change their sound. And Jam and Lewis said, "No, do not change."
That is wonderful. You're absolutely right. The first thing they do, they get you. They want to change your look. They want to change your style. Say, "We like this," but especially if you're doing anything inspirational.
Right.
And they'll say, "No, but you can't say this. You can say this, but you can't say that." Yeah.
Exactly.
I know BB and CeCe, they had a lot of problems with theirs in the beginning where they were told what they could say and what they couldn't say, but I don't think they paid it much mind, but...
Right.
what they were told.
Yes. Oh,
well, how many people did you start out with? And you had, and tell me about some of your members that the world knows better than others.
Right. Okay. We started with 40, with 30 singers and a 10-piece orchestra, Sounds of Blackness. And to this day, we still have 30. We still have 20 singers, and we still have our 10 musicians, many of the same. And now most of our singers, in fact, really all of our singers, are none of the originals. So this is like Sounds of Blackness, next generation. And matter of fact, a few of our members are actually offspring of some of the original members. Jamesia Bennett, of course, is Ann's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Dreams is Joanne Hollies Johnson's daughter. I could go on and on. So we, our total membership now, again, back then was 40. Now it's 30, 20 singers and 10 musicians. But most of the time, Lynn, what most of the world sees is our touring ensemble, and that's 16 with 8 singers and 8 musicians. They do most of the travel.
Oh, wow. And you mentioned Jamesia. You said that's Ann Nesby's daughter.
Yeah.
And then, remember after that, then Ann had a granddaughter that was singing that ended up, wasn't she on American Idol, Paris? Was she?
Yeah. You're talking about Jamesia's daughter, Ann's granddaughter, Paris Bennett. She was a finalist on American Idol, and she is just, the whole family is just so amazingly anointed in many ways, and especially vocally and musically. And yeah, so yeah, you're referring to Paris Bennett, and Paris is part of Sounds of Blackness extended family. She's done a Christmas show with us. I mean, on and on. We've done projects, recordings together. So shout out to you, Paris.
And I love the fact that your music, it encompasses all forms of Black sounds, like you said, but it does something to uplift and inspire people and souls worldwide, and it's still doing that.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, in our goal statement, Queen Lynn, we have mm-hmm. a few different things mentioned. But our number one goal, it embodies what you just said, the essence of it. And it says, Sounds of Blackness, its primary goal exists to glorify God by uplifting all people through Black music.
Amen to that. We
and
definitely.
So often, people, you know, especially some of the saints, and I love the saints, God bless them, you know, have a problem with us singing the different genres of music. Not all, but some. But what I tell them, and what I would say to your listeners is, listen, God has given African-American people this unique testimony as a cultural testimony over eons and decades. And listen, saints, you cannot fully appreciate the glory, hallelujah, of gospel without the pain of spirituals and the blues and the complexity of jazz. They are all part of our testimony, and one independent of the other doesn't make sense. You can't make sense of it and fully understand it. So we present the whole picture just as God has revealed it to us.
Yes, and those spirituals are so important to who we are. They helped guide us through our days, our slavery days. See, I come out of Fisk University with the Fisk Jubilee Singers, and they were some of the proponents that took the spirituals around the world, the Fisk Jubilee Singers.
All over the world, yeah. And I would implore, I'm so glad you focus on the spirituals, and if I could just piggyback for a second on the spirituals, Queen Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage every listener to encourage their church choir, their college choir, to reintroduce spirituals back into our repertoire. Now, you know, I love contemporary gospel, but 99.999% of the time, back in the days when we could attend church, and hopefully that load will be back soon.
So, yeah.
All you hear is the praise and worship team and contemporary gospel. Great music, so please don't misunderstand me. But growing up in Yonkers, New York, at Messiah Baptist, every Sunday, there was contemporary gospel that was traditional. There were anthems, hymns, and spirituals.
Yes.
So we need to keep our musical base broader, even within the Black church, and to reinstitute that legacy.
Amen. You're right, because if we don't keep it going, it dies.
That's right.
We need to teach our young folks.
Take it, as historically has already happened, mm-hmm. has always happened.
Yes. Oh, man. Oh, wow. But yeah, that's something that we definitely have to go on and keep that part of our history and culture alive musically. Now,
yes.
I'm going to hop onto a little social issue thing before we get into your new music. Killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, where you are based, where the police officer held a knee on the neck of this brother for over 8 minutes, and he later died, and then it sparked this global unrest and protest against police brutality policies and you know what, and worldwide racism. It's like folks just woke up like, where y'all been?
Yes, yes. free.
So how did you all handle it being in the middle of that? Did you all get involved in any levels?
We have been involved since day one, before Brother George was lynched, and it was a modern-day lynching.
Okay.
And before and immediately after. In fact, I'll tell you specifically, since you asked that, Queen Lynn, Sounds of Blackness, one of our primary vocal rehearsal nights for years, has been Tuesday night. But the first night of Brother George's, he was murdered on a Monday, and the first night of protest was the next night, that Tuesday. So, of course, I canceled rehearsal. And it's so prophetic that you said in the midst, Sounds being in the midst of his murder, Lynn, he was murdered literally five blocks from where we rehearsed.
Oh, wow.
I mean, a 2-minute walk down the street, you know, to in front of that grocery store is where he's. So yes, literally, we were in the middle of it. And so I canceled rehearsal that night, and there were tens of thousands of people, white, black, native, Asian, Latino, you know, at the protest. And this is really important. I've been saying this in a lot of interviews, and I'll tell you this and all the listeners. I was out there, you know, I mean, Sounds of Blackness, we weren't out there as Sounds of Blackness. We were just, you know, in this is our hood, this is our people. So just as individuals, but this teenage young Caucasian female came up to me, and she had her Black Lives Matter sign, and she apparently recognized me from the group. I said, young lady, it's great that you're out here. She said, hey, Mr. Sounds of Blackness. She said, you guys are one of my favorite groups, and she said, I know you guys are going to do a song about this, and I'll never forget the next thing she said, Lynn. She said, but please don't make it a happy song. And I said, young lady, I promise you that will not happen, because the atmosphere and the mood and the emotion then, as it is now, is one of, as the Bible says, righteous indignation and outrage and anger and a call to action. And I made that promise to her and to all of Sounds that what we were going to be blessed, and I knew what God was going to give us, was going to be a match the mood of the times, or as they say in the German language, the zeitgeist, the mood, the feeling of the times. And so God gave us the words of the late, great Fannie Lou Hamer, who in 1964 told the world, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of indignation, inequality, white supremacy, supremacy, brutality, injustice. And those words were channeled into our new single, Sick and Tired.
Oh, wow. That is amazing about the backstory on Sick and Tired, because we truly are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yes, Lynn, and Sounds of Blackness and I also have received and are still receiving dozens and dozens of offers for collaborations on songs about peace and love and holding hands, and we've turned them all down because it's like, no, this is a Jesus whipped them out of the temple, turned the tables over moment. We finally have to read it, because right now, the Kumbaya songs, even though they're well-intentioned, actually get in the way of facing reality that we need to face. So that's why, and in fact, even some programmers that I've talked to, you know, they love the song, but they're surprised. They're like, we expect the Sounds of Blackness to come out with another optimistic. It's like, you know what? Of course we're about peace and love and about unity. I said, but right now, finally, and enough is enough, this has to be addressed head on, and, you know, and this is a turn the tables over, whip them out of the temple moment. That has to be reflected in the music.
It is a reflection, a sign of the times. Remember that Prince song, Sign of the Times?
Yes.
Did you write the music, or did a member of the group write it?
I was blessed to write it, but I'll quickly say this. The late, great country artist, Chet Atkins, had a saying that I really subscribe to. He was once asked about songwriting, and he said this, Queen Lynn. He said, there are no songwriters. All music is given. And I believe that. Now we can mess it up.
Okay.
It's given to us. And so what was given to me was the words of Fannie Lou Hamer, sick and tired of being sick and tired, for Sounds of Blackness to be an anthem for today's movement.
And it is so befitting that folks can play that and ascribe to it globally, because it was that the death of George Floyd sparked stuff that it just made stuff rise up in us that it had kind of been sitting there. You're like, okay, I'm tired. Oh, Lord, I'm so tired. Oh, Jesus, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. But that made us rise up and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. A change has got to come. And we want change now. Not tomorrow, and not 2 years from today, but now. And things are happening, and they're happening quick.
Yes, they are. And, you know, it's so, I'm so glad. I love how prolific you are in your mindset and consciousness, it is, which is one of the reasons why you're Queen Lynn.
Oh, thank you.
I say that to say this, that you point out the international scope of this. And there was a book out called Global Village, and Global Village was a concept. But now Global Village is a reality. I know you saw that footage of 22,000 people in Dusseldorf, Germany, kneeling for Brother George Floyd and against racism. And one of the organizers of that is the president of Sounds of Blackness Germany Fan Club. I call him brother. His name is Rainer Lambler. You saw in Osaka and Tokyo, kneeling. Those were both of some of the organizers were part of Sounds of Blackness, a Japan fan club. And so this global village is really a reality. And you're absolutely right. This sparked the world. And you mentioned Prince as well. Of course, when the Baltimore incident went down, he wrote the Baltimore and recorded the Baltimore song and released it, went to Baltimore and did the concert out in the street. And as much as he loved Minneapolis, you think if he was still with us that he wouldn't have done the same here? I mean, so it's all in the legacy.
Oh, like that. Amen, amen. Speaking of Sick and Tired, the song and the video, is there an album or EP coming to go with this?
You know, we are looking to release in concert next year, in conjunction with our 50 years of blackness, our 50 year anniversary of Queen Lynn, a series of singles that we've done, and that will include, as you question infers, wisely so, it will include Sick and Tired, it will include Black Lives Matter that we did just a few years ago, to be an anthem for the Black Lives Matter movement, and now that song is being almost re-released with the airplay. We're hearing it almost as much as we are Sick and Tired.
Wow.
And so the past few years, as I think your question infers that you already know, we've been releasing a series of singles.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, it was royalty. You know, we've got a message from above, you ain't no thug, you're royalty. So those singles and a few others, along with some of our classics, will be a part of our celebration of 50 years of blackness.
Oh, wow. So like a celebration or an anniversary album, 50 years of Blackness. Oh, wow. That is going to be wonderful. So that will be coming out sometime next year, right?
Yes. We're aiming ideally for summer of 2021.
Now, for the song Sick and Tired, is that available digitally where if people want to go and support and purchase?
Yes. Sick and Tired is available right now. We technically released it July 1st. Sick and Tired is available on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify. We can save you a step, though, and kill two birds with one stone for all of your wonderful followers. Just go to Sounds of Blackness website, which is easy enough. It's just soundsofblackness.org, soundsofblackness.org. And on that site, on our site, you can push a button, purchase the CD. You can purchase a T-shirt. A lot of people have been asking about the T-shirts in the video. And, of course, you can see the video on YouTube. And the reason I'm pushing that is not just to promote the record, but Sounds of Blackness are going to donate a portion of proceeds from the sale of the record and the sale of the T-shirts and merchandise to the George Floyd Scholarship Fund.
Awesome. That is awesome. And it's always great to talk to you, Gary. Do you have a social media handle, or does the group have one where people can connect on social media? You gave us the website, soundsofblackness.org.
Yes. And the answer is yes to all of the above, Queen Lynn. We have several.
Okay.
On Twitter, it's just at Sounds Blackness without the of, just at Sounds Blackness. At LinkedIn, it's Sounds of Blackness. On Facebook, is Sounds of Blackness fan page or Gary Hines. They're interconnected. We just got TikTok a little bit ago. See, if I run through them all, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn. Oh, and Instagram as well is Official Sounds of Blackness. So all of them are very easy just with our name in it, and it should pop right up. And for anyone who contacts us, please know that when you hear back, you will not be hearing back from an intern or a machine. It will be one of the Sounds of Blackness members, and very probably myself.
All right, then. Thank you. Thank you so much, Gary Hines, founder, director of Sounds of Blackness, for being my guest today. And you can go and check out their new single, Sick and Tired, available digitally on one of the places is iTunes, website, soundsofblackness.org, and the video, Sick and Tired, like we said, Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired, is on YouTube.
On behalf of Sounds of Blackness singers and band, thank you, Queen Lynn.
Oh, thank you, Gary Hines. Thank you so much. And thank you out there for joining us today. Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast. To reach me, you can find me on Twitter at Lynn Woods. That's LINWOODS, or Instagram at LynnWoods96. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. And taking us on out today, the Sounds of Blackness with Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired on the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast. God bless.